Alcohol Awareness Month, it's time for a Wisconsinite Newsmaker show on that part of Wisconsin's culture and the toll it takes. So thanks to Patrick Cork, Administrator of the Department of Health Services, Division of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services, and Lewis Opper, Section Chief for Department of Health Services, Substance Abuse Services Section. Gentlemen, who proclaims it Alcohol Abuse Month? I mean, is it National or World Alcohol Abuse Month?
It's a national observance.
Is it?
Yes,
okay.
It is.
And
okay. We take part in that in Wisconsin.
Okay.
Certainly interested in drawing attention to the public's use of alcohol and helping people to learn about their use and how to use it safely.
But, Pat, you're not trying to take the old fashions out of our hands and the lineys
no,
out of our hands,
no,
are you?
No, not necessarily, no. We believe that you can celebrate events without alcohol, but certainly many people choose to use alcohol. And we want to encourage people to use it in moderation and do so in a safe setting.
Before we get into some of the specifics, how does the agency monitor the use of alcohol in Wisconsin?
There's a number of ways. We produce an epidemiological report that comes out every 2 years that takes a look at data around consumption levels throughout the state, consequences of consumption, and we added a new section to that in the last few years called individual or community risk factors that contribute towards higher rates of alcohol use.
Well, just generally, are Wisconsinites drinking more, slightly more, about the same, or a little bit less overall?
Overall, at least adults in the state like their alcohol, and we are ranked as one of the highest states for adult binge drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably a number of contributing factors that has gotten us there. So
okay, let's go right into that. Thanks for the copy of the latest state.
You're welcome.
Statement on that, and let's summarize some of the highlights here, and we've got a bunch of graphics to help us understand it. So let's work through some summaries of that. First, as you just said, Lou, Wisconsin continues to have the highest rate of adult binge drinking in the nation. Now, we're either number one, two, or three, Pat, is that right?
Right. I think in recent studies we've have been identified as number one or number two. I think in the most recent study, Wisconsin was ranked as number two,
okay,
which is still a concern, right? If you're in the top 10, it's really a concern, public health concern.
A trivia fan out there might ask, who's number one?
I believe it's North Dakota.
North Dakota?
There we go.
Yeah.
North
mm-hmm.
Dakota. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Item number two, for the last 4 years, Wisconsin has had the highest rate of binge drinking among women of childbearing years. But summarize the obvious. Why is this a bad thing?
Well, I think there's women of childbearing age are at higher risk. As we've seen binge drinking among that age group increase, there's all sorts of consequences that come along with binge drinking. And for Wisconsin, binge drinking, well, I'll just define it. It's four drinks at a setting for a female, five drinks at a setting for a male. But the average, I think, for females is around 6.5 drinks per setting, and males about 9 drinks per setting. So the consequences are poor decision making that comes along with it. A woman may be pregnant and not know it, and inadvertently the alcohol may cause some problems with the pregnancy. So it's just a risk group, I think, that women need to be very careful.
And one of the potential safety issues here is fetal alcohol syndrome, correct?
Correct. Okay.
Number four, Wisconsin's rate of death from alcohol-related liver cirrhosis, have I pronounced that correctly?
Mm-hmm. Cirrhosis.
Cirrhosis, thank you, has risen since 2003. As I read your report, this is something that the report says is absolutely preventable, correct? Cirrhosis?
That's correct. There's a lot of health problems that result from alcohol abuse and a lot of problems with organ damage, brain damage, etc., that can result from alcohol abuse. So drinking in moderation is certainly helps to prevent those problems, and it adds to our health care costs, it adds to early death, it adds to a lot of consequences that could be preventable.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
And cirrhosis is a medical condition that really results from years of overuse of alcohol. So it's not typically something that happens when people are using alcohol in moderation. Mm-hmm. It's years and years of excessive use.
Can we talk about that balance issue? Because I just read a book that said one or two drinks a day might, I'm not a physician or a lawyer or anything,
sure,
but might have some health benefits. But we're talking here about the abusers of alcohol in Wisconsin, aren't we?
Yes, certainly. So I think our concern with alcohol use is for those people that use too much, too often, and too quickly. And so these are both young adults and older adults who have a pattern of use that we consider unsafe. So they may be binge drinkers, they may drink every day of the week and drink amounts that are considered unhealthy. So more than two drinks a day for a man or one drink a day for a woman. Okay.
And they're posing obviously a threat to themselves and others in their conduct if they choose to drive.
Correct.
And if they're pregnant to their
correct
to the unborn child, right?
Right.
Did you have a PS on that, Lou?
No, I was just going to say it. You know, once you get into the sort of the heavy drinking, which is more than the two drinks a day for men and one drink a day for women, you begin to look at a number of consequences, not just health consequences, but legal consequences, failure to come to work, lost productivity, disorderly conducts, operating while intoxicated, domestic violence. I mean, there are a number of areas that are impacted and consequences as a result of heavy drinking.
Right. And the final, I was really surprised by this, gentleman. In Wisconsin, nearly one in four suicide deaths are estimated to be alcohol-related. Explain that to me. This isn't people killing themselves through alcohol, right? This is alcohol decisions they make after drinking, Pat?
Correct, right. So suicide is a complicated health issue, but certainly we know that when people use substances and are depressed or feeling suicidal, that in those cases they may be more likely to succeed in that event, actually committing suicide.
One in four. Mm-hmm. While we're talking about binge drinking, give us a demographic profile. Is the average binge drinker in Wisconsin male, female?
Yeah, it's interesting because the average or the male-female ratio is changing. Males were traditionally had a much higher binge drinking rate than females, but over the last 10 years or so, we've seen that start to increase, where the females are coming up to the same rates in terms of binge drinking as the males. And you might ask, what is contributing towards that? And I don't have a good answer. I know that there are some authors out there. We're having a prevention conference in June where one of the authors from Canada, Ann Dowsett Johnson, will be speaking and talking about sort of the pinking up of the alcohol industry, where the alcohol industry may be targeting more females at this point, creating drinks that are more favorable to females, putting female colors, so to speak, on alcohol bottles, etc. You've probably seen in the wine section drinks like cupcake and things that are more attractive to women. So that could be part of the reason. And I don't know if that's a national average. I just know in Wisconsin that we're seeing higher binge drinking rates among women.
So we're seeing almost a parity in binge drinking between men and women now. Is there an average age for Wisconsin, or an age range for Wisconsin binge drinker?
Young adults. We tend to target young adults when we're trying to create change in binge drinking habits, but certainly older adults can binge drink. And, you know, drinking large quantities of alcohol in a short period of time create many concerns, many problems. And that's really how we define binge drinking. And this is an area we are trying to target for change. This is, in many parts of Wisconsin, this is accepted as kind of normal, mm-hmm. you know, normal drinking use or normal drinking behavior. And it's not. And there are consequences related to binge drinking, and we are interested in changing this statistic for the state.
And you gentlemen may not know, but I'm just curious, is there a drink of choice for a binge drinker? Beer, wine, hard stuff? Maybe that's an unfair question. Just your instincts on...
Just my instincts?
Yes.
I think, prior to working in the job I have now, there was a time that I worked as a substance abuse counselor, and what I noticed, just my observations through that time, is the binge drinker tends to move from the beer to maybe they've had wine into harder liquor. So as the more drinking they do, they want to feel the effect quicker. So they move more into the whiskeys and the gins and the bourbons and the vodkas, etc. But I haven't seen any real statistics on that.
And as our population ages, you've seen us, we're going to become one of the oldest states.
Right.
Are we more likely to abuse alcohol the older we get? Your thoughts on that?
You know, I think as we age, our metabolism changes.
Mm-hmm.
We don't process the alcohol as we did when we were younger. And I think people who may have been accustomed to drinking 5 drinks a day, as an example, binge drinking when they're younger, now as they get older, that alcohol affects them differently. So they become more intoxicated sooner.
Okay.
Because their metabolism just isn't processing the alcohol like it had at one point.
And that's when they pose threats not only themselves but to others if they choose to drive and things
right,
like that.
Right.
Now let's look at some real summaries of binge drinking. Let's dive into this a little bit. You talked about this, Lou, and I'm grateful for this. Binge drinking is a pattern of drinking that brings a person's BAC to 0.08 or above typical adults. 4 or more drinks, female, but now you say the average in Wisconsin, female, 6.5?
About 6.5, right.
And 5 or more drinks, male, but the average in Wisconsin, 9?
About 9.
Okay, and then a standard drink, obviously, 12 ounces of beer, 5 ounces of wine, 1.5 ounces of distilled spirits or liquor. This is intriguing. Adult binge drinking in Wisconsin compared to the U.S. A little bit of infamy here, 23% of adults 18 and older in Wisconsin binge drink above the national average of 17%. Wisconsin had the highest rate of binge drinking in the nation in 2011 and 2012, second in the nation in 2013. Is there any good news here? 24%, 25%, 23%, no significant change, Lou?
Not a significant change.
Not a significant change.
So, you know, Wisconsin is unique in terms of how we manage our licensing of points of sale. So, as an example, many states have a statewide ABC board, Alcohol Beverage Control Board, that sets out that establishes the licensing requirements statewide, how many licenses per population, etc., sets hours for taverns opening and closing, things like that. In Wisconsin, most of that alcohol licensing and control of the sale of alcohol is done locally. So we find that it's all over the map in terms of the number of alcohol outlets that we have around the state. That would include bars, taverns, grocery stores, gas stations, wherever alcohol is sold. One contributing factor, I think, is if you look at the number of alcohol outlets in Wisconsin compared to nationally, it's about 1,400 outlets, or about 1,400 people per outlet is the national average.
Mm-hmm.
And in Wisconsin, it's about 350 people per outlet. So we have our share of places to purchase alcohol. I think in some ways it may drive our tourism industry a bit. People enjoy coming to Wisconsin, enjoy having a good time, snowmobiling, but they also enjoy drinking as well and how accessible alcohol is.
If my numbers are right, that's a 4 times as much ratio. Nationally, 1,400 to 1, but in Wisconsin, 350
about
to 1?
350 to 1.
So there are roughly 4 times the number of retailers in Wisconsin as the national average.
That's correct.
Thank you. That's a very intriguing stat.
Mm-hmm.
Really is. And as you're aware, the Senate, our legislature just passed, and the government just signed You can get 1/3 of a free shot of spirits now in a retailer that has a liquor license.
Right.
And they said that's a parity issue because wine and beer is also available. But let's move on. Fast facts. Binge drinking comes with a price. The estimated cost of all excessive alcohol consumption in Wisconsin for 2012 was $6.8 billion. Two questions. Gentlemen, is there any recent number available? This is a 2012 number. Is there anything recent?
No, this would be the most recent.
Okay.
The model that was used, this was done by an organization called Population Health Institute. It's part of the University of Wisconsin. And the model that was used is a national model to estimate the costs of alcohol use. And so that model hasn't been updated since that time. So these are the most recent figures.
And then the second one, does the $6.8 billion, that's a 2012 number, does that include the cost, the medical cost of care for someone who is injured and the passengers in her or his vehicle? And does that include lost time because of alcohol abuse and property damage? Is that a universal number?
Includes all those factors.
It does.
Yes, it's a comprehensive figure.
6.8 billion. That's an impressive number. 1 in 4 women in childbearing age, 18 to 44, binge drink. We alluded to that. This is intriguing. Wisconsin's consumption was equivalent to 660 standard drinks per person in 2012. That is well above. That's more than 20%. That's 120% or more than that,
right,
of the national average. That's a pretty telling stat. Mm-hmm.
It is. And I don't know if that's attributed to the fact that we have so many, that alcohol is so available around the state. But yeah, it is a high number for Wisconsin.
39% of adults ages 18 to 24 reported binge drinking, as we've been talking about, in 2013. 1,748 deaths in Wisconsin were attributed to excessive alcohol use in 2012. Any later number on that, gentlemen?
No, I believe that would be the latest.
Yeah, I don't have a later number.
Okay. Now let's, some progress made. Drinking among high school students and proportion of Wisconsin students who drink before age 13 has decreased since 2003. That's good news. Any theories on why?
We have really been trying to target the young drinker over the last 10 or so years. We were, at one point, just as with adults, rated almost near the top in terms of underage drinking. About 10 years ago or so, I believe, the state sponsored or developed something called Alliance for Wisconsin Youth, at which point local coalitions were established in communities around the state. Right now there's about 100 local community coalitions that work towards making their communities healthier for kids. And so I think with those activities going on, and they really look at environmental strategies. And what I mean by that is, what are those strategies that have an impact on the whole community? And usually those are policies. So they're looking at the availability of alcohol. They're looking at the affordability of alcohol. They're looking at the attractiveness of alcohol, and they're looking at the acceptability of alcohol, and trying to make some environmental or policy changes community-wide that would have an impact on those four areas. And I think it has been working, so I think we're starting to see some results as a result of that. Also, they're very involved in promoting a campaign we do statewide called Parents Who Host Lose the Most.
Mm, we've seen those signs and posters.
Right. And
that campaign is what, 2 or 3 years old? Who's paying for that?
It's our department pays for that.
Okay.
It's probably about 5 years old at this point, and growing. And really, it's centered around two major events for youth: prom and graduation.
Yes.
At which point it was pretty common for parents to host parties for their underage kids. Mm-hmm. High school kids would come to a party where beer or alcohol was being served, or prom. There was some school districts, I won't name them, that during prom, the parents would purchase hotel rooms in the Wisconsin Dells area. They were from out of town, and their kids would go up there and party. So these types of activities, I think, have been brought to folks' attention. When you think about, if you are going to host a party and you're an adult, and you provide alcohol to minors, you could be charged with a crime.
And you could be civilly liable, and I
you
believe,
could be civil,
couldn't you? Couldn't
that's
you,
correct.
For damage.
Right, right.
So this campaign tries to bring attention to that fact, so we work closely in those communities with law enforcement. I mean, it doesn't do a lot of good to tell people you're going to be charged, but then nobody's there to charge them. So we work closely with law enforcement to make sure that they're keeping an eye on this. We work closely with parents in the community that helps promote that message that it's not okay to provide alcohol to minors.
Go ahead, Pat.
I was going to say that the state receives a federal substance abuse block grant, and so that supports treatment services as well as prevention services. And so much of the prevention funding has been used to support the activities that Lou just described. And so we've really tried to focus on the youth use of alcohol and to try to prevent that and make these statistics look better. And we've made some progress in that area. So we're very pleased about that. And the programs that Lou described are really a couple of the more significant interventions that we've tried to create.
And as a result of the success on bullet point one, that's led to a decrease in the percentage of high school students who engage in binge drinking. Some of the same efforts have.
Right.
So Wisconsin is now below the U.S. rate in
that. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, we can claim progress there. For the first straight year, Wisconsin's rate of alcohol-related motor vehicle deaths was similar to national rate after years or decades of exceeding it. Right, Pat?
Correct. That's right. We've seen a number of years where the incidence of OWI traffic violations has decreased. We're still, as a state, we're still above the national average for OWI arrests, but we are seeing a continuous decline.
So well, having covered the Capitol for several years, I've heard the arguments from the Tavern League and others that the tougher drunken driving laws have worked to deter drunken driving. Do you gentlemen think that that's generally true?
In general, I think that that's probably true.
I would agree with that as well. I think the public is more aware of the consequences of drunken driving, and you know, there was a period where the drunken driving arrests were increased over time, and so now we're seeing a decline in the arrests now.
Okay.
I think the costs associated with operating while intoxicated offenses have gone up as well. Some of the statistics show that it could cost a person anywhere from $1,800 to $8,800.
Right.
For a first-time drunk driving charge.
Is it your agency or is it another state agency? I see those billboards, you just blew $10,000.
Right.
Is that you guys or DOT, Department of Transportation?
It's not the Department of Health Services. No. We believe it's the Department of Transportation.
Okay.
Who has a vested interest in this
but we
issue
can all,
as well.
We can all quote that billboard, so
it
resonates with us in some way. Let's look at the continuing challenges. Underage drinking, of course, 12 to 20. Any PSs on that, gentlemen?
I think only that, you know, children under the age of 21, young people under the age of 21, are not legally allowed to drink. So we're trying to prevent underage drinking at any level among all populations.
Is the biggest predictor of how much a child is going to drink when he or she becomes an adult the drinking of their parents, or am I way off there?
Well, I think parents are models for their sons and daughters, and certainly I think there is a connection, Steve, to the parents' use of alcohol and how their children may use alcohol. That doesn't hold true in every situation, but generally speaking, I think that's an important point.
Okay. And then adult binge drinking, as we've discussed, and the target area to really try to reach more effectively is ages 18 through 34,
correct.
The young adults?
We find that especially those college-age students have very high rates of binge drinking, and so they sort of fit into this range of 18 to 34, and there is a lot of focus in terms of how we can have a better drinking, healthier drinking culture among that population. So, that is the highest age group, 18 to 34, the highest risk age group. Doesn't mean that those over 34 we don't pay attention to, but right. that's the highest.
Then drinking among pregnant women, is there any special program from DHS or any other agency that really targets pregnant women to get the word out?
Yes, we are working with the University of Wisconsin, who is providing training to healthcare professionals on FASD, fetal alcohol syndrome disorder. And so they are cautioning their patients who are pregnant to make sure that those pregnant women realize the impact that drinking might have on unborn. And so we are working with health professionals around the state for keeping them aware of the situation.
Okay, and then drinking and driving, especially among those ages 16 through 34. Well, do you think we've made significant progress in fighting the alcohol abusers in Wisconsin, both young and old? And
I think we're making progress, and our progress may be more evident in some categories, like we talked about the use of alcohol among young people. We certainly have a ways to go in Wisconsin to assure that people are using alcohol in healthy ways when they choose to use it.
Next steps in terms of next public appeal or public campaign to get out the word and to fight the binge drinking might be what?
Well, we've been working on a lot of fronts, but really trying to improve our overall treatment system in the state. I think there's been quite a stigma in years past that if you were a heavy drinker, you didn't identify yourself or seek help for that problem. We've begun to see that change a bit, and we see more people recognizing that they do have an issue. I think there's less stigma attached to alcoholism and alcohol dependency than in the past. And so people are coming forward, and we want to make sure that we have the treatment resources available for them, that we have the support, not only their immediate needs, but to follow them through their recovery so that they can maintain a healthy lifestyle as they move on. So I think really looking at our whole treatment system, I'm not going to comment on policy issues. That's up to the legislature.
I understand.
And they do consult with us occasionally in terms of what might be best practice. So
one of the policy questions which you gentlemen can't comment on is, okay, I'm going to have a trivia question. When was the last time the beer tax was increased in Wisconsin? Do you know?
I don't know. Do you know, Lou?
Lou?
Well, the common answer is it was raised when man last walked on the moon, 1964, I believe.
1969.
69. Mm.
Okay. When they passed a beer tax, $2 per barrel. Mm-hmm. Right. And it hasn't been increased since then, but that's a policy question. Okay, so let's end it this way. Someone, I just read a book who suggested that people should be aware of how much they drink. Is that really a first step in terms of self-analysis, in terms of am I drinking too much? Do I have a problem? In other words, what advice would you give someone who is thinking, well, maybe I should ponder how much I do drink?
Yeah, I think that's a healthy approach. We want people to understand their use, and certainly that involves how much they drink. So, you know, if a person is involved with a substance abuse counselor, they might ask them to track their drinking over a period of time. If somebody is just out there and they're thinking that, well, maybe I'm drinking too much, we would encourage them, you know, not take a weekend off. Don't drink this weekend or some weekend in the future. And when you do drink, set a limit. So you're only going to have two drinks tonight, or it just establish a sense of control.
If someone is advised that they are a problem drinker, is it covered by their insurance policies generally?
Substance abuse treatment is typically covered by health insurance policies. And so, people who are interested can have an assessment done. So they'll work with a professional who will help them understand their use of alcohol and identify the appropriate treatment. Sometimes it might just be education or more awareness of
right.
how they're using. Alcohol.
And so that's the reason we have an Alcohol Awareness Month
right.
in Wisconsin.
That's correct.
So, any PSs, gentlemen?
Lou?
No, I don't think so. Well, just to say that I think people need to be aware of the amount that they drink. Don't get into the behavior of celebrating drinking. It's okay to have a drink to celebrate other things, but let's not celebrate the fact that you're just going to go out and drink. So people need to be aware of that and some of the consequences that come along with heavy alcohol use.
Okay, that's great. I want to thank Patrick Cork and Lewis Opper of DHS for coming in to talk about a very important subject in Wisconsin.
Thank you
so
Steve.
Much.
Thank you.